Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Friday. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Friday Chicago, Danny Burke, and you. Welcome to Friday. Husker baseball gets rolling from the desert. Sort of, kind of. Tempe's not really the desert, but you'll take it. Plenty of Nebraska baseball, Husker hoops, and recruiting. A full Friday today with Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you get in. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. On Twitter at Hail Varsity or at Schmidt underscore radio. Give either a follow and tweet at us if you like. Email, we'll get to that. Chris at Hail Varsity. com. What's on the docket? Well, I told you about the baseball, basketball, and football portion of the experience today. Also, college basketball, Pete Thamel of Yahoo. That is some filthy, dirty news for a lot of college basketball programs. We'll jump in there, as well as comments from the chair of the selection committee in a moment, Bruce Rasmussen, Creighton Athletic Director. So that's where we're going to go today. Mike Babcock, 15 minutes away on Husker Baseball. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey. We'll talk some college basketball, some Nebraska basketball with Derek Peterson. And Greg Smith, recruiting analyst. And I have heard a dirty rumor that Greg's an option quarterback from back in his days in high school. That's a really cool rumor. We'll see if it's true. Greg Smith running the option. Come on down. I love it. I love it. So that's where we're at. Listen, you have some inside info right now that was shared. We spent some time on it, Danny, on Wednesday. Mad Chatter, Dirk Chatelain of the World Herald, and Dirk's been on with this before. And he's kind of laid out just some of the flaws with strength of schedule. That portion of the kind of the pecking list for the NCAA selection committee. And if you're Nebraska, your strength of schedule is brutal, awful. You can do nothing about it except kind of wish. Wish you could have done better. Wish the teams you could have scheduled were better. And you're out of luck as Penn State comes to your rescue. Well, we've been saying that for 2 weeks. Watch the end of the season for Penn State to close like a lion, like a Nittany Lion, right? They won at Ohio State. They swept the Buckeyes. Purdue is fading. Nebraska got Purdue, and they've been playing their best. And you have Penn State coming to PBA here a week from Sunday. Now, get through the Hoosiers. Don't screw up Sunday against the Illini, and it could be pretty cool. But you have inside information here from the man himself, as Bruce Rasmussen wrote a response to Dirk's blog. Dirk published that today. And here are the points made. And what I took out of this, two things. A, that's some major league confidence that the committee has in Rass to be so public this close to Selection Sunday. You're less than a month away. And he's talking specifically about a team. He's responding specifically to about a team in Nebraska. How do you feel about that if you're other college basketball teams or the selection committee members? Your chair's doing the speaking. They get to do that, but rarely do you hear about it. They don't do that. It's not like Kirby Hulkett jumping on ESPN after the college football playoff rankings. At least this may help stir some things up nationally about the selection committee, about the selection show. College basketball's kind of been waning, and you're having a six-pack of hand grenades thrown at you by Yahoo beyond this tournament. That's the projection with just how bad, corrupt, dirty, and, well, lucrative, if you're the right prospect, college basketball can be. But back to Nebraska. So Rass got going. Strength of schedule has its flaws, and it only takes into account the win-loss records of who you played. Not where you played, not the outcome of the game, not the strength of the team you played. We were talking about that yesterday. We were talking about that Wednesday. Look, there's more to it than just black or white. There's gray. There is. There is in every game. There is in every timeline moment of a season that needs to be taken into consideration. And after reading Rasmussen's response, you got to be feeling great, capital G, if you're Nebraska. Yet inside information here, specifically on Nebraska, and how at least Rass is looking at Nebraska. He didn't come out and say, hey, they're in, although that's been suggested. But he kind of pointed out some things in a positive light for Nebraska. It's not as bad or as dark as it may seem based on the strength of schedule. Why? Because your non-conference strength of schedule is not a primary tool. Okay? You're making chili. What's the most important ingredient? You may argue this, but I'm going to go with meat. Danny's like, nee. Am I wrong there?
I thought you were going to say the cinnamon roll.
No. I'm not going to get into this. Searles isn't here to, like, frustrate with that. And
yeah, I don't have backup this time.
Yeah. You don't have a starting NFL guy to stare down. Yeah. No, it's not the cinnamon roll, Danny. Wrong answer. It's the meat and the chili. If you ask my wife, it's the tomatoes per spoon bite. Or if you ask my kid, it's how many beans are in there so he can torture us later. You ask me, it's the meat. And the thought was the strength of schedule in your non-conference was the meat. It's not. It's further down the list. It might be crackers, chives, or cheese in this bowl of chili. It's incorrect, Rasmussen says, when the assumption is non-conference strength of schedule is the predominant tool when it comes to getting that selection. You are in the dance. It's not. Here's what he goes on to say. You have to look beyond the number and evaluate a team's non-conference strength of schedule. Conference schedule ranks well beyond other factors. How'd you do against tournament caliber teams? Did you win the games you're supposed to win? How'd you do away from home? It's kind of hard to win away from home. And yes, schedule intent. Did you get lucky? Or did you get real, real unlucky? Are you scheduling teams that typically finish first or second in their league if they're a mid-major or a low major? If you got to schedule some directional state schools, are they likely one or two in their conference? Are they vying for a conference championship? Are they likely a 15 or 16 seed? When you go directional school for the old Emeritus Classic. And this year, the Emeritus Classic, Danny, was a tournament at the old Bob Devaney Sports Center that Nebraska would have in December every year during the knee era and beyond the knee era. And one year, Nebraska got really lucky. Gary Trent Jr. is ripping it up for Duke. His dad used to play for Ohio 20 years ago and was phenomenal. And Ohio ended up being like a six seed, and Nebraska got them in the Emeritus Classic. It also helped that Danny Neese used to coach at Ohio. What's your intent? Your intent, if you're Nebraska, you're scheduling Kansas because they'll probably win the Big 12, and they're a three seed at worst. Creighton. You know how good they've been. St. John's. Have fun playing there, man. And it wasn't fun. And they're back to that form again. Central Florida, AAC contender, possibly. Top three, usually. Especially with Taco. Oh, wait a minute. Taco's been hurt. Long Beach State, North Texas, University of Texas, San Antonio. Well, those teams usually vie for better spots than they're finishing. Rasmussen today makes a point that part of the intent with the schedule in reference to Nebraska, your intent was to schedule teams that were pretty good in their conference and then some blue bloods or Creighton. So that's another like point for Nebraska. He also referenced Nebraska and Michigan State. Michigan State's non-conference strength of schedule is 266. It's only 21 spots better than Nebraska. And that's because UConn was down. They played Carolina and Duke, but they didn't get the credit they deserved because they were neutral courts. They weren't road games. Notre Dame has fallen off because they've been decimated with injuries. So there are points to be made that, no, strength of schedule in your non-conference will not get you decapitated. It's part of the consideration, but from a weight standpoint, back to the chili analogy, it's ancillary. It's maybe another can of beans versus the meat and the sauce or the chives. So, and the other part of this, too, is they're considering, not only did you challenge yourself in the non-con, are you playing well, and when did you play a team, and how good was the team when you played them? Another point here in this response is Minnesota, when you got them the first time, when they were ranked 12th, when they were full strength. So that's impressive. Lastly, and read this yourself, I'm sorry I'm rambling with this, but what type of team are you now? Have you grown? Are you better? The transformation part will be discussed. How well are you playing? How good are you looking? And back to schedule for a minute. It's also highlighted in this response letter that, yeah, Nebraska did get Ohio State. They did get Purdue. They did get Michigan State. But you got them all on the road. And only one of them was a beat down. The rest of them, very respectable, one you could have won. So if I'm Nebraska, and frankly, if I'm Penn State, I'm feeling good. Feeling great about how things are going. So the other question here, the quadrant system, it's just a sorting mechanism. You beat a team in the top 75 of the RPI. It's comparable to a home win against a top 30 team. They'll take into account who you beat, what they're ranked, how they're playing when you beat them. But you're not going to get more credit, less credit. But the eye test and the metrics are going to be weighed and weighed at a high level. So when you look through this response, Nebraska, man, Nebraska's been a team that's been talked about for 3 weeks. How many other bubble teams have been chatted and chattered about? Well, you had a couple on ESPN last night. And because Temple was on ESPN, or might have been ESPN2, leading into Arizona State, Temple's the greatest damn bubble team in the history of America. Please don't turn away. Temple was on the road against Wichita State. Nebraska's been one of the teams, thanks to the Big Ten Network, thanks to some of the analysts, thanks to some of the national guys, that's been on the radar, not just for the bubble watch, but just a team to kind of be talking about, be watching. Hey, if you haven't seen, check out Nebraska basketball. I think that helps Nebraska. And ultimately, who'd have thought Really? Raise your hand. Who would have thought Penn State, Nebraska, A, would have meaning, B, would be this good if both teams can get there with high consideration still in their back pocket? Nebraska, Illinois, and Indiana before. It all Penn State has to do is now go to Purdue and then Michigan before Nebraska. Penn State's got to close with a murderous schedule, but they're playing well enough. They're playing so well that Penn State has no worries about Purdue. Purdue don't want to see them. Michigan doesn't want to see them. Ohio State sure as heck doesn't want to see them a third time in New York City. So the end of this story here from Bruce Rasmussen, AD at Creighton, chair of the selection committee, his response to Dirk. It's inside information Nebraska's talked about. That's a positive if you're Nebraska. Paints Nebraska in a very, very good light. Now, Rass is just one of 10 voices, but he's the chair. So get him some more ice and get him some more Diet Coke. We'll get caught up with Mike Babcock, Husker baseball, ready to take on the tournament down in Tempe.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
1 hour away, recruiting thoughts with option quarterback Greg Smith. He'll tell you. We'll get him to tell you about being an option quarterback. We'll get caught up with Derek Peterson. Mike Babcock, 40 years of excellence, historian, author, Hall of Famer. Great coverage of Nebraska. We'll get some Husker baseball thoughts here before they get rolling down in Tempe. Babbers, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. And I'll tell you what, option quarterback, put your shoulder down and run into the tackler. Don't go out of bounds.
Did you ever witness T.O. running the quarterback for going out of bounds? Or is that was that something Scott came up with that was pretty good story?
No, I think he would have. I think I didn't see it, but I think that he would have done it.
I didn't see it, but it happened. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I remember the guy I remember that they had to get to lower his shoulder going way back was Jarvis Redwine.
Really?
Yeah. Because, I mean, he had speed, and so he...
Didn't need to.
yeah. So, you had to do that. Otherwise, you'd be running extra. I saw Frank Solich, actually, on the freshman team, one of the freshman running backs, did a little extra running because he didn't do that. So,
okay. Best Husker option quarterback to play catcher on your softball team.
I'll disqualify myself. I don't want to put myself in kind of a difficult situation. So
okay, well, no, I mean this isn't like making fun of the accuracy thing. They average 37 yards a pass, for God's sake, a lot of times.
Well, you know, that's a thing. Smitty, you get that play action. You get the running game going, and then you get that play action.
You can't miss them.
Stuff. What was it, Jerry Godowski, I think his senior year, he threw two interceptions and like 17 touchdown passes.
He was awesome.
Be off by one or two.
He was like 19 and two, I think.
Yeah. Some incredible number like that. But, I mean, that's the way the offense worked. And so guys that weren't necessarily pure passers came up being very successful throwing the ball. And it was all part of the system and predicated on the ability to run the ball. And it wasn't, you know, they ran out of multiple formations and did multiple things that were subtle, but the basic plays were, you know, they just ran them over and over and over again until it was second nature. And you were doing that from the beginning, which is one of the things that, you know, Scott talked about, and we've talked about this before, but I think it's really important. If you can, guys not standing around at practice, running, getting reps. And, you know, you'd have guys, third team guys that were getting all the reps that the first team guys were. And so by the time they got the opportunity, it was a second nature to them. So I think that's really important. And, they, you know, when Scott said, we don't want people standing around at practice, That's critical. If you can do that, if you can keep guys busy, that's what you want in those practices. And it applied to the quarterbacks as well. Those guys just knew exactly what they were doing. There was no, it was second nature because they had run those plays so many times.
Mike Babcock's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Great stuff from Mike in the recent recruiting issue of Hale Varsity Magazine. Get your issue today. Can subscribe 855-3-HUSKER, HaleVarsity.com/subscribe. A phenomenal column on walk-ons. And the walk-ons are a point of emphasis, Mike, with this new program, the system, and the ability to kind of push things along and create that competition. That's such a priority, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's much more difficult now. The walk-on thing is much more difficult. I mean, you know, there was one year in the mid-80s where Osborne, they had 90 kids walk on. You know,
90?
And you had the – yes, yes. Yep, I kid you not. And they had the freshman team, and so all those kids were playing on the freshman team. And, you know, when they had the freshman team at the height of it, some kids just came down here, and that's all they wanted to do. They just wanted to be – they wanted to make the freshman team, you know, and say that they had done it, and they didn't really have realistic expectations of going beyond that. But they in the mid '80s they had huge walk-on classes. You know, guys that didn't mean they were going to be around in the spring, but they had some big numbers.
Well, we'll get to baseball here, Mike. And I look at this tournament, and Nebraska gets underway here very shortly. The Angels complex against Riverside, familiar man across the dugout for Coach Erstad, former Angels teammate. And when you look at this Nebraska baseball team, I kind of look at the guys that are back and the newcomers, and I think there's so many guys that can do so many different things from a versatility standpoint. I've used the word versatility, I think, 27 times this week because of basketball, but I think it's very true for baseball. Is that the biggest strength of the team when you kind of ballpark what could happen in 2018 for Coach Erstad's team?
Well, yeah, they certainly have versatility, and I think they have a pretty good mix, I think, of experience. What you're not certain of is the way that they've adjusted the pitching so that, you know, this is the first year that Alvarado will have been a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Lensman was in that position. They expected him to be there, and then he's got the Tommy John surgery, and he's out. Hohensee, who was a starter last year, now he's coming out of the bullpen, which they feel like that's where he's best. That'll be interesting to see how that goes. But the thing that they've had a problem with early in the season, and it shows up again at tournament time, has been offense, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think they need to start strong in the non-conference, just because the Big Ten right now is not getting a lot of love in the mm-hmm. you know, for the Big Ten, and so you're going to have to, from an RPI standpoint, I think you need to have some success in the non-conference season. So a fast start would really be helpful. And maybe the versatility will fit in there. You know, Altavilla can play shortstop and third, I think. Roskam can play third base. He can catch. He can play first base. That's going to help him, I think, down the line. But, yeah, you've got to – that versatility has to translate into offense, I think. And, you know, as Darren said, they're going down there to be successful, not to play as many guys as they can. So it'll be interesting to see how they do this weekend.
Mike, last year Nebraska obviously ended up as Big Ten Conference champions, did better than most people expected them to do. And with a great team like that as being Big Ten Conference champions, of course you're going to get some breakout players, some players who stand out. And one of those players in particular was a freshman at the time, Mojo Hagee. And do you see any players coming in this year as a freshman who might end up, as he did in his first season, being a breakout player?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't have a good answer for you because right now it's guys that sort of fit into the roles that from a year ago. I know that Alex Henwood is going to get a shot at second base. My guess is he'll be the guy that gets the first shot at second base, and then Hallmark. I think also fits in there. He's a first year guy, but right now I think you got to look at guys. You know, Mojo was a surprise, and I think it would be the same way this year. It's going to be a surprise because right now you know you've got Mojo, you got Schreiber, you got Klinke, who's a known quantity. He hadn't played a whole lot, and actually was in a position where he probably was going to, might have thought he was going to play a little more than he did just because when Hagee came in, he was so surprised and kind of pushed his way into the lineup. But then I think Roskam will see some time at first base. Alvarado, when he's not pitching, will see some time at first base. Altavilla, as I said, Roskam could be a third. Cronenbold, if he's healthy, when Altavilla plays third, Cronenbold is shortstop. He's their best defensive guy. Wilkening as a returning guy. So they've got guys that are returnees, and those are the guys I think going into it that you're going to count on. So I'm sort of evading your question because I don't really know of a newcomer that's going to have an impact the way Mojo did. But again, Mojo, we didn't expect him to do what he did either. So there could be some guys there that do that.
Mike Babcock's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. Babber's about 2 minutes here. When you look at Schreiber and his transition to the outfield, I'm interested in his offense and know what he can do from a power standpoint. Do you think he kind of gets back to older form with the power numbers while keeping the average up there?
Well, yeah, he seemed to think so. He seemed to think that losing 20 pounds is going to make a difference in that sense, and he's more comfortable. You know, he said he got as high as 250 last year, and he's dropped down. Now he's actually in about the 220, 225 range, mm-hmm. Which will help also in the outfield, which is where they're going to have him, not DH-ing or playing first probably, but I think it'll help his power numbers because he thinks so. So, I accept that he feels more comfortable at the lighter weight with the power. He's still a big guy. So, we've seen that we can hit for power. So, although given the dimension of that ballpark this weekend, I don't know that there are going to be too many home runs hit by anybody.
Last thought here, Mike, about 30 seconds. The bullpen, do you anticipate it as a strength when we talk here in a few months? I think the bullpen can be a real strength for this team.
Yeah, I do. I think, and it starts off with Hohensee moving back out there. Mm-hmm. Erstad said that Hohensee's a guy that when he moves on after Nebraska, he's a guy that can move quickly in the minors. Mm-hmm. He said up through the minors as a reliever. So. I do.
I think we'll see that, although obviously it's going to be a little bit different because last year you had Alvarado and you had Lensman. And between them, I think they had 17 saves. So that's going to be a little bit of a different thing. But you got Hohensee, you got Palkert, you got some guys that to come out of the bullpen to get the job done. So, but again, we'll see. We'll see some of those guys this weekend because the starters are going to be on the pitch count, and you always see that the first weekend anyway. I think that I don't want to stretch them out too much.
Babbers will be watching. Thanks for a few minutes today, bud.
Hey, great talking to you. Have a great weekend.
And we're back.
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, 15 minutes away. Talk some Husker hoops. Greg Smith recruiting. Danny Burke in the Friday forecast, or Danny Cassino. So you just kind of like yelled at me, Danny, to pull the shades down because the sun was blasting you. Are you a vampire?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to be able to see the signals you're giving me. Trying to coordinate the show correctly here.
Half the time you roll in with a bag of gummy bears and shades, so I don't know what to think. Maybe you're just prepping for me having the window open. A lot of sun, a lot of coaches' eyes as they wait to find out their fate being the FBI probe sting that you've heard about and maybe you've been thinking about, but now it's kind of back on the front burner thanks to Pete Thamel and his latest story from Yahoo Sports. And, you know, excerpts from the story, it goes deeper than college basketball and just four corrupt assistants. So the truth of the matter is Hall of Fame coaches, blue blood programs, and as it was put in the story, half of the quadrant one top 16 will vacate wins or a championship with this March run in 2018. That's how bad it is. Listen, and they're also talking about Andy Miller, who's an agent for many NBA players. He got his bank records. And if that's true, then they're going to see who Andy Miller's paying or giving allowance to. And it may not be just his clients. That's just an educated guess. So I got this to ask you. As a college basketball fan, when you fill out the old ESPN Lincoln bracket here in a few weeks, or you're doing your pool tournament at work, or you're doing that giant one that's going to cost you $15 to get in that maybe Danny and his buddy down the hall run, do you care that who wins and finishes first in this year's tournament may be dirty? Have you accepted the fact that it is dirty? The bombshell quote from an anonymous source with the knowledge of the FBI findings, mind you, that is 4,000 hours of wiretap, 330 days of surveillance. I mean, Donnie Brasco, huh? Donnie went a while, but you know what I mean. Have you accepted the fact that kids are for sale? Yes, I think you have. Maybe you don't talk about it. Maybe you don't pay much attention to it. But you're just pleasantly surprised if you're a transplant fan or you adopt a team. Say you're local. You love Nebraska basketball. You can't bank on Nebraska basketball going to the tournament. So you find another team to root for. And at some point, you just kind of go, yeah, I like this team. Maybe you like Michigan because of the Fab Five. You know what happened? They happened, but it's vacated. I loved the UNLV team. That team was phenomenal. But they had impermissible benefits. There was hot tubs. There were women, whatever. Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman. I love the UNLV team that won it and then lost in heartbreak fashion to Duke. Maybe you're a Duke fan. Duke's had to reinvent themselves from the guys that were there 17 years, like Ala Abdelnaby, Christian Laettner, Cherokee Parks with the biggest ears in America, to a one-and-done system. They've had to reinvent. Boeheim's had to reinvent. John Thompson's no longer coaching. How'd that happen? How have teams risen up so fast? Well, SMU had a payroll. Maybe your favorite adoptive college basketball team has one too, and that's what it sounds like. Do you care? Do you care that your favorite adoptive basketball team, assuming it's not Nebraska, may have a payroll? May shell out tons of cake to family members or to who else? Here's how things go. This is my own little investigation. And I just wonder if some of these blue bloods that could be in trouble are smarter than your average FBI agent, knowing that this day would come where there's going to be people that are paying coaches, that are paying runners, that are paying kids, and the whistle's going to be blown and everybody that's important could be taken down because you go along to get along. You can't keep coaching, stay in power, make money, make tournament runs. You can't do all of the above unless you have amazing talent to keep pace with the Joneses or be better than the Joneses. So you either have to evolve or die. And if everyone in your conference has a payroll, allegedly, you need to too. Now, some programs, and I'm going to use Kentucky as an example, and Coach Cal. Coach Cal, I don't know if Kentucky's one of these programs that's like, if we're talking degrees of filthiness, if they're pig pen, or if they got a grass stain on their jeans. I just know that Coach Cal is, you're going to come here, you're going to play, then you're going to go to the NBA. That's all it is. I'll get you there. Done. Now, does he need to pay a kid that's, air quote, for sale to get him to Kentucky? I don't know. I'd be interested to find out the holier-than-thou college basketball coaches that are out there, and there's many, if they're having a guy they know pay another guy they know, pay another guy they know to get a kid here. So here's what's likely going on, and this all got popped with Adidas. But don't kid yourself, the shoe deal is kind of the root of this. I like Adidas, I like Under Armour, I like Nike, so I ain't hating. But when push comes to shove, the route to secure services is, okay, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour. Does anyone still wear Reebok? We'll throw Reebok in there. Let's go British Knights. Let's go Kids. Let's go Vans. And I'm missing something else. Danny, any suggestions?
Say Under Armour?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I've got, like, the food groups. So-and-so's dad or uncle is in charge of this AAU team. So said shoe company needs to sponsor and support them, and let's line things up for 4, 5, 6 years down the road. Let's do it that way. And therein is your system and setup and delivery. We'll wind down with this in a minute.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down hour one, Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey coming up, 10 minutes. Greg Smith with recruiting to Hail Varsity Friday, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Hope you're doing all right. We're talking about Pete Thamel's story. And Pete, here's his rep, man. He is a guy that is very thorough, very well respected. New York Times, Sports Illustrated, now Yahoo. And the fact of the matter is, you want high-level talent, you're going to pay to get it. And some blue bloods pay very, very, very well. So what's next? Now, there's a protection order on this evidence in all three cases. How much of this info gets out is in the story. I mean, the source in the story says, you know what, you're better off changing rules versus watching your top two teams and your power five, again, alleged, suggestive, the 50 names you know and love in college basketball go down or do time. And nobody's going to watch. You already have a problem with the regular season of folks watching. So do you institute a payroll? Is there a salary cap now in college basketball? If there's a salary cap in college basketball, what do you get for football? What do you get for college baseball? What do you get for volleyball? The NCAA is going to be like, we need to talk and make a deal. I mean, what have you heard, man? Danny, you're a Chicago guy. You've known the Big Ten. You've known, I mean, Coach K, Carolina. Who else is great? Arizona has already been implicated. Auburn. Here's my thing. And this is tongue-in-cheek. But anytime Texas Tech or Auburn ends up with a 2 or a 3 seed, just take a picture so you remember. Because anytime they like rise to prominence, it's only for that one feel-good season, and then everything's erased because they did something funky to get there, usually. History says that. I don't know. Nothing shocks me anymore. And if you got a funnel through a shoe company or an apparel company, money to an AAU guy just so you can be in with a fifth or sixth grader, you're smart enough to project that will be great. It's been that way. So I guess the moral of the story is don't let it happen in college football if college basketball is already broken. I don't know. We'll see. Derek Peterson's coming up, and we'll get some recruiting thoughts by our dear friend Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com and magazine. We spent some time talking about Bruce Rasmussen's response to Dirk Chatelain and how non-conference strength of schedule is not a primary factor. It is a factor, but not an overwhelming factor when deciding who gets in, who stays home with the NCAA tournament. Mike Babcock with some great Husker baseball thoughts. We'll get some recruiting down. How do you like this weekend's lineup of games, Danny, as you're going to get the Friday forecast ready at 5:40.
We got some good games cooking this weekend. Going to have a good forecast coming up. We'll see how it turns out.
And you're making the unofficial Danny Casino line.
That's right.
Yes. Danny Casino line. Great to be with you in hour one. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey of Hail Varsity in less than 10. Hour two next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Recruiting coming up. Greg Smith in 25 minutes right now. Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter. Derek, what's good, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. So you're telling me that Greg has to follow me up?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm absolutely saying.
I am the headliner. I like that. That makes me feel good. I appreciate that.
That's so good. Okay, so I'm on the HailVarsity.com message board, and our fearless leader, Aaron Babcock, was asking, you know, what you're watching. There are off-topic discussions, and one of the posters put a list together of what he's watching on Netflix, and I kind of, I seconded his motion that Ozark, is it Ozark or Ozarks? I don't, help me out here, Danny. It's Ozark, right?
Yeah, Ozark.
Okay.
Derek, have you seen it? I don't, yes or no, have you started?
So I watched the first episode, I think. That's the one where, like, the family has to retreat into
let's not spoil the
drug money.
Right, yes. Yes.
Right. I watched the first episode and then kind of just never went back. There's a show on called Altered Carbon that I didn't think that I was going to enjoy, and then started watching it and just plowed through the entire, like, 10 episodes in, like, 3 days. It was fantastic.
Okay. Well, do me a favor.
That's my stamp of approval.
Go back and finish Ozark.
Okay.
I mean, it's insanely good. So, anywho, okay. I'm in the midst here during the commercial break, as one of the posters called me out and said, well, 13 reasons why it's fantastic. So I'm on like 12. But for me to come up with 12 in like 2 minutes, that's impressive. Let's start with some college basketball and stay close to home with Nebraska. And we were spending the first hour talking about Bruce Rasmussen's response to Dirk and I wanted to kind of get your take here. First, have you read his response letter? Did you see that today?
Bruce Ratt, no, I did not.
Okay. Pretty much it outlined a lot about Nebraska and the fact that strength of schedule in the non-conference isn't a primary tool used by the selection committee. It's behind a laundry list of things. So the long and the short is, it was kind of the way I interpreted it is Nebraska is not in as bad a shape as you would think. The emphasis on non-con strength, the schedule, while it's not good, it's not 80% of your grade. It's more like pick some of your favorite ingredients in chili, and the most important ingredient, at least if I'm making the chili, is meat. It's not even close to the meat, okay? So
right.
With Nebraska here, where are you most confident with Nebraska? Not that they just go to the dance, but just when you look at their resume and the eye test, what do you think will speak to the committee? This is prefaced, of course, by taking care of business Sunday, Tuesday, and then Sunday again.
Obviously, yeah. And I wrote about that, what was that, yesterday?
Yes, on the March to March, baby. I love those.
Right. I put up that piece, and I said, I use poke holes in the boat mm-hmm. when you talk about the non-conference strength schedule because it's pretty bad. But I don't think that that's something that's going to ultimately kill them. I think Nebraska, I'm pretty confident in saying they'll get a win at Illinois. I think they beat Indiana. I also think they get a big win at Penn State. And because of the way that Penn State is closing out their season, that win is going to look even better. Mm-hmm. They'll have three wins over top 40 KenPom teams, which I think is impressive. Michigan isn't going to fall as one of those group one wins by RPI, but it was at the time. They've got a couple of impressive wins. I think what it's going to boil down to is, can they win one or two games in the tournament, which I think they can. Mm-hmm. I think they, you know, if they get that matchup with Michigan, I think they could beat them again, and I think that they could win Ohio State. They're playing really good basketball right now. James Palmer Jr. is playing really well. Isaiah Roby in his last three games has really, he looks more confident and comfortable on the floor. And Isaac Copeland is giving them just some really, really, really good minutes. And I think, you know, they're getting not great production offensively from Glenn Watson. He's still been really good defensively. He obviously had the block on Maryland that kind of helped ice that win. But I think what they're getting from everybody else offensively, especially with Palmer, because Palmer's playing at an all Big Ten level right now, I think they have enough to kind of make up for not having Glenn. So all that to say, I think that they'll get one, two, maybe more. Maybe they get on a run. Maybe they get hot. I don't know. I think they have the potential to do that in the Big Ten tournament. And I think when you look at what they are going to do in the tournament, what I expect them to do in the tournament, coupled with the wins that they have and just the fact that they've closed out this season incredibly hot with a bunch of wins like they needed to do. They've checked the boxes that they needed to check. I think that's where you start to feel confident in saying that this is going to be a tournament team.
The other thing in Bruce Rasmussen's response to kind of clear things up and be transparent as the chair of the committee in reference to Nebraska was they're going to look and use the eye test, not just the metrics. And two, they are going to very, very appropriately take into consideration who you beat, when you beat them, who you lost to, and when you lost to them. So that's good news right. for the Central Florida loss. That's great news for the first win against Minnesota. And they're also going to realize, you know, St. John's that Nebraska faced is a lot like the St. John's teams that just took down Nova and just took down Duke. I mean, they're a full-strength team. And the other thing that was circled, road wins and beating teams you're supposed to beat, teams you're ranked higher than in the conference, great, you're supposed to beat them. Well, you're seeing 7 times out of 10 this week, teams go on the road and not do their job or not win at home. You're seeing teams not win the games they're air quotes supposed to win.
And if you're going by that test, by the eye test of looking at a game and saying, well, they didn't win this game, but they faced a really good team. You look at a game like Kansas that we keep kind of going back to and saying, this is a game that, that if Nebraska had won this game, man, that would look so great on their resume. Mm-hmm. But if that's the way that you're going, if you're looking at the eye test and saying, well, that Kansas game, they had a lead in the final minute of that game against a really good Kansas team. They might not win the Big 12 this year, but it's still Kansas, and they're still a really good basketball team. And Nebraska had a lead in that last minute. I think that could help, too.
That's impressive, and also one possession lost to Creighton. I mean, they're really drilling down. Let's talk Big 12 for a second. What do you make of the conference? Is it that treacherous, or are teams just hitting a wall? Is it so great top to bottom? Kind of give me your take. You're not far removed from covering the Big 12, and some of us long to be back in the Big 12 for basketball.
I think the Big 12 is you got to bring it night in and night out. And the knock on the Big 12 last season was that the conference was down. I really didn't think the conference was down last season. And I think the teams that were down last year are a little bit better. I don't really know what's going on with Oklahoma right now with all the road woes, and they're just not getting anything outside of the rest of the guys not named Trey Young. Mm-hmm. Kansas is, like I said, Kansas has a big game against West Virginia this weekend that they've got to win if they want to remain in contention for the regular season title. And if they win that, it pretty much comes down to a matchup with Texas Tech in Lubbock. And Texas Tech looks really good.
I mean, they look great.
Offensively, they're fantastic.
They just win anywhere, it seems like. They're the one team that's got some killer road wins, and they do pretty good at home, too.
Yeah, and it's one of those conferences like you saw with Baylor coming out. Like, Baylor is a talented team. They got some dudes on that team that can ball, and maybe they've underperformed this season, but they went into Fog Allen and beat Kansas by almost 20. Was it 20? I don't remember what the final score was. But you got to bring it night in and night out in the Big 12. And you know, we're kind of seeing that a little bit with the Big 10, with Wisconsin beating Purdue and with Penn State continuing to beat Ohio State. I mean, you got to bring it night in and night out. If you're going to want to win, you can't really take teams for granted in these major conferences.
Bill Self hates his team. They are not getting a team picture next to last year's team picture. There's going to be an empty spot on the wall at Allen Fieldhouse with this team. They may be great.
There might be a couple of empty spots, too, if couple things.
No, that's where we're going next. College basketball. Yeah, it's just going to be stripped. College basketball. Pete Thamel's story. What do you believe? I mean, this has been going on. This being players are for sale. Shoe companies. AAU. Let's get some placement going. Here's a fund. Here's your AAU sponsorship. Remember, good old Uncle X, who is a fan or works for said Blue Blood program. What happens here? How much does the FBI protect, or does college football absolutely get detonated here this summer?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think that the landscape of college basketball is probably going to fundamentally change if this stuff gets released. I want to see it get released. Like I was talking with Greg Smith and Jacob Padilla earlier, that I love drama, so I want to see this stuff come out. I want to see it get released before Selection Sunday, and I want to see what happens.
That's wishful thinking, bro.
I know. But I'm curious, because I think, you know, when you look at it and you say the teams that have been winning pretty much regularly year in and year out, the teams that come to mind, you think Duke, you think Kentucky, Kansas, North Carolina, and this has the potential, it seems like, to just destroy everything. As someone that likes drama, I'm kind of excited to see what happens. But I think if this stuff is true, and I believe credible sourced journalism, when that stuff happens, I give it the benefit of the doubt and I believe it, especially in this instance. I think Pete Thamel is a pretty credible dude. And
very well respected.
Going on, yeah. I have no reason to believe that this is just sensationalized reporting. You know, I'm curious. I hope they release it and they don't protect it. I hope that it gets out at some point.
Derek Peterson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Dr. Petey 15 on Twitter. Follow him, read him. And he's keeping track. Nebraska's March to March does that weekly. Derek, I really loved your story in the recruiting issue of Hail Varsity Magazine. Really, Mike and you and Brandon and Greg, I mean, just an incredible stuff, man. You guys just rocked it. And
thanks, man.
What were you expecting with your chat with Coach Held, and what kind of give me the formula you wanted to approach with this story, the breakdown? What did you want to do going into it, because it was marvelous?
I pretty much got what I expected. Yeah. I pretty much went in expecting to hear from a guy that likes to work and doesn't like taking all the credit for that work. Mm-hmm. I put this on the forum. One of the things that I was kind of most impressed by with Coach Held was I asked him about kind of the staff continuity and bringing everyone from Orlando to Nebraska, and if that had any kind of impact on their recruiting. And he, you know, he said, yeah, it did. They basically just changed shirts and they didn't miss a beat. They just got to pick up and keep going. But he also went on and in the same breath talked about everybody inside the athletic department, inside the offices, their secretaries, people that help them with scheduling, and just everybody that works with them. And from somebody that, you know, I would bet that he's been in Nebraska's athletic department offices for a grand total of maybe 2 or 3 weeks since they took this job. Mm-hmm. That was pretty impressive to hear him just rattle off the list of people that work there and say, these guys don't get attention, these guys don't get credit, but they deserve credit. That was cool to see. Pretty much what I expected from other people that I had spoken to about Coach Held and about kind of the way that he likes to go about things. And, you know, it's cool, and that seems to be a unifying trait with the rest of this coaching staff. So that's cool.
They're gonna preach selflessness, and Held and this staff seem to have it, and that is impressive. If you haven't picked up an issue of the recruiting issue of Hail Varsity, do so. You can subscribe 855-3-HUSKER, hailvarsity.com/subscribe. And be sure to get caught up on Derek Peterson, his story. You can log on and follow him at Dr. Petey 15. Great stuff with Coach Held. Derek, we'll get caught up soon, my man. Always fun to chat with you. Thanks for going around the merry-go-round on some college hoops, some Nebraska stuff, and thanks for your work and the story on Coach Held. It was awesome, man.
Yeah, man. Sounds good. Appreciate you having me on.
Yep. Be good. Have a good weekend. Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, with us on Hail Varsity. Really awesome story, and it's pretty cool stuff about the staff. So we will get caught up with Greg Smith of Hail Varsity. It's a Hail Varsity Friday. Baseball, basketball, recruiting. And Mr. Greg Smith will join us up next. We'll talk some 2019, you'll love that. Miss any part of today, you're welcome to catch the podcast. It's on hailvarsity.com. It's on iTunes and portions on ESPNLincoln.com. Back with Greg Smith next on Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at hailvarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in the world's biggest Laker fan and recruiting guru with Hail Varsity, Greg Smith, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, you probably thought I'd quit harassing you, but recruiting never stops. How are you, sir?
I am excellent, man. Always happy to have you harass me, but no, it doesn't really actually stop. It just turns the page to another cycle.
Well, I've been turning pages through the latest issue of Hail Varsity. The recruiting issue's phenomenal. Derek Peterson, incredible work. Jacob Padilla, Mike Babcock, Brandon Vogel, Mr. Greg Smith. Your story on the quarterback room was incredible. And when you thought about doing this story, and you know how important the quarterback spot is, man, Nebraska's got a lot of choices this spring, don't they?
Yeah, they definitely do. And between those choices that are on campus and the track record that Scott Frost has with his past quarterbacks, you have to feel pretty excited. I don't know how a Husker fan would not be excited and confident that he's going to have the quarterback position going really well here at Nebraska once he gets this offense up and running.
In talking with coaches and quarterbacks and players, what's kind of a common response? I don't want to say that surprised you, but that kind of hit home with you when quarterbacks talk about Scott Frost. What's the first bullet point, so to speak?
Probably the trust that they have in him and his ability to, if he's identified you as a guy that he wants to play in his system, you now have trust that you aided. Now you've got a lot of confidence and you know that he's handpicked you and you have trust in him to be able to develop you. And talking to, you know, Matt Masker, who's walking on and broke all of Scott Frost's records, passing records here in the state, the first words out of his mouth was, this offense is elite. And I know that if I'm going to go into that system, it's fun watching it. If I know I'm going into it, it's going to be great to try and play in it and have Coach Frost develop me. So that trust and just confidence really radiates from all of these guys when talking about Coach Frost and developing quarterbacks in that offense.
What are they excited about when it comes to the coaching aspect? Yeah, they have trust. Yeah, the guy knows what he's doing. That said, he obviously can teach it, him and Coach Mario.
Yeah. Him and Coach Verdue, as the guys call him, are great teachers. And I think what they're able to do is they're able to really make it relatable and digestible for these quarterbacks. There is a lot going on, and you have to be able to process a lot of information quickly. But the way that these guys teach really makes it digestible for these quarterbacks and gives them the confidence they can go out there and execute this thing at a high level, because you have to be able to process that information quickly to be successful in this offense.
Greg Smith, recruiting analyst with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Does that blow your mind? I mean, I don't know how many times you've played quarterback in your life, and mine are forgettable, and that's just kind of for fun. This is for real. And with the processing, the decision-making, and then getting the ball out or making the pull or the give with the mesh point, knowing where to go with the ball, it sounds impossible at the speed they want to go, but it's worked.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because I'll show you pictures in case you don't believe me, but I did play quarterback in high school, and I can't believe how these guys are able to do this, because that was the hardest thing for me. Like, when we were out there in warm-ups or in 7-on-7 and you're just trying to throw the ball around, I could do that. I had a good arm, could do that. But once you add a pass rush and guys trying to block those guys in front of you and the crowd and all of that, it gets to become pretty hectic in a hurry. So I always have a great deal of respect for guys that are able to do that, and it's seems like all the quarterbacks that Scott Frost has been associated with, and I go through this kind of in the piece as well, whether or not you know, you talk about the recent one in McKenzie Milton, you think about Vernon Adams at Oregon, Marcus Mariota before that at Oregon was obviously the gold standard, but those guys all had that trait in common, that they could process information, they didn't really get rattled out there, they were quick decision makers and accurate throwers, and I think that those traits fit a couple of guys that are on campus already and a couple of guys that they're recruiting for 19.
Okay, we'll get to 19 in a minute. Who do you think it fits that are on campus now?
Oh, Tristan Jebby and Adrian Martinez are, to me, clearly the two guys. Like, I feel like, and I always have to mention this, I feel like we do leave Patrick O'Brien kind of in the dust, so to speak, in this discussion, but I just don't see how this whole situation and offense fits him nearly as well as it fits Tristan Jebby and, of course, Adrian Martinez, the guy that they handpicked, that Scott Frost himself says was, you know, the top quarterback in the nation in his mind, the only player that he called out by name in his early signing day press conference. So that tells you something about what they think about him as well.
Greg, can I get a quarterback story before we get to 2019?
So we ran in high school. My team ran the triple option. My
You're
highlight
an option
as,
quarterback, Greg
an
Smith.
Option quarterback. My highlight of my high school quarterbacking career is that I had a 70-yard touchdown run, and I thought that they were going to have to take me to the ambulance, get in the ambulance after that, take me to the hospital.
Was it short side? Was it wide side of the field? Was there a crack block? Was it all? Was it Tommy Frazier-esque?
It was wide side of the field. To my left, it was not Tommy Frazier-esque because there was no one over there after I did the fake. And so I was praying to God that no one caught me from behind.
Well, we're going to do this weekly. Great story. Instead of Al Bundy and Poke High, it's Greg Smith and stories from the gridiron.
I'm telling you, I'll surprise you.
No, man, I'm not mocking you either. This is cool. I love it. Let's talk recruiting recon. Story up, HaleVarsity.com. It's premium, but no time like now to subscribe to the website and the magazine. Greg, 2019 going to be monstrous for Nebraska. Snodgrass and Nelson, two kids that are already committed. Snodgrass, of course, out of York, and Garrett Nelson, one of those guys, a defensive end from Scott's Bluff that just loves him some Nebraska football. Let's start with quarterbacks. As you look at Max Duggan, a kid that's talented in the world once out of Council Bluffs. When you look at Nebraska and their relationship with him, how do you think it stands right now?
Yeah, I actually think that Nebraska is in a really good position with Max right now. If you didn't see as well, I got a piece. My Greg's guy piece came out yesterday. He's the number one guy on there. If you've been following what I said, that's no surprise there. I've been raving since I saw him play in person last year. But the relationship is really good. They sent no less than three coaches out to Lewis Central so far. Scott Frost has been there. Verduzco's been there. Eric Shenander has also been there as well. And the interesting connection there, Shenander is friends with and knows a handful of people at Lewis Central, Max Duggan's high school, so that can only help Nebraska's chances. He's still slated to make a spring decision right now. I think Nebraska is in a really good spot with him.
What's your timeline on Duggan's decision?
Yeah, so it looks like, so the last that he told me, like a week ago, he still wants to make a spring decision somewhere around what would be Nebraska's spring game, definitely before his senior season. So look for him to start taking some visits around to some places here recently or here soon, and that'll kind of tell the story, right? Once we see, you know, whether or not he's starting to take some visits to, say, a Georgia or out to Notre Dame or North Carolina, or if all of the visits are more regional, we'll have a little bit better idea of who Nebraska's going up against. But he's definitely a priority target for Nebraska and their new staff.
Who else for 2019's not only on the radar, but it's been on the radar recently with this staff?
Yeah, I think you definitely, I can't go this far into an interview about 2019 without mentioning the Burke duo, right? Mm-hmm. Nick Henrich and Chris Hickman, Henrich the linebacker and Hickman the tight end. Those guys are definitely on the radar. Barrett Rood, fun fact, was at that school 4 weeks in a row once the dead period ended, and that is definitely not lost, especially on Henrich, who's really bonded with him, with Barrett Rood being a former linebacking great, obviously. You got a guy that's going to be on campus this weekend, three-star defensive end slash athlete, Ty Robinson. He'll be here on an unofficial visit, not officials yet. The new officials start in April when you can start hosting those guys. So it's still exciting times. We got a lot of guys still on the radar and popping up here, but recruiting really never ends here for 2019.
A guy I saw a couple weeks ago, Burke played East, and this was basketball, but Hickman was out there, you know, checking East's best player, and, you know, he almost murdered the rim three times. I mean, he got there but was hammered, so the dunk didn't go down. But I love Hickman's athleticism. That doesn't shock you, obviously, that he plays tight end. But do you think he's more of a tight end or a defensive specialist for Nebraska if things go the way that Nebraska fans want?
I think that Chris Hickman is basically the guy that you would create in a lab to play tight end in Scott Frost offense. Like, and that has been my line about that one this whole time, because I think that with his size, about 6'5", 6'6", he's a fast guy. You just talked about his agility on the basketball court. He would be great at tight end in this offense.
When you look at Heinrich, what wows you about him with the film you've seen?
Yeah, sideline to sideline player out of the off the middle linebacker position. He could play middle linebacker in a 3-4. He could play outside linebacker if you really wanted him to as well. Basically, you know, I've seen him, I think I saw him play two or three times last year, and even in their game against Omaha North, and you know, they were the eventual state champions, and North did beat Burke in that game, but there were plays that the North coaches would just kind of look and go, wow, we really thought we had that thing blocked up, and he just erases plays. Like, he just comes out of nowhere and erases plays. His instinct, speed, and tackling skills are second to none in the state. Like, you can see why he's a top 100 recruit in the nation.
Greg Smith's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, about a minute here. As far as the offensive line, do you feel good about where Nebraska's at as they look to 19 for that O-line need, the tackle spot? Do you feel like that things will work out better this cycle?
Yeah, I do, and I think the reason for that is I think Nebraska will be able to identify more realistic targets early on. You know, it's great to chase the five-star Frosty Sorrell and those sorts of guys that they were looking at a couple of years ago. It also helps, though, that when those guys are in the 500-mile radius, and there's a couple of guys in St. Louis, or one in Kansas City, one in St. Louis, that are on the Husker radar, and then a guy in Colorado, Barrett Miller. So that's three right there, and you have Ethan Piper, who's in the state, who will probably end up getting a Nebraska offer at some point, already has an Iowa offer. So I have four linemen right there in the radius. If you can't tell, the radius is going to be really important this year and has a lot of talent. So no, I think Nebraska's in a much better spot with O-line. And they'll probably take four or five this year if they can.
No, that sounds like a number because they've got a lot on the roster now. And the Show Me State's going to be big. It's been a great cycle the last couple of years in the state of Missouri. And Nebraska will go make their name known again. Greg Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. A recruiting hit from Greg. Read his Greg's Guys story on HailVarsity.com and his recruiting recon story that's just popped up today. You can do so. Can subscribe, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Greg, have yourself a good weekend, brother. We'll talk soon.
Hey, you too, man, and happy early birthday.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down a Friday. Hope you're doing okay. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Danny Casino shall be his nickname on this segment because it is time for the Friday forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a gambling problem, call the statewide helpline, 1-800-522-4700. Repeat that number with me, Danny, 1-800.
What was that again?
1-800.
1-800-522-4700. 4700. Got it down.
Hey, there are some good ball games going on this weekend. Danny, you're going to set the line because last week we did this and all of a sudden, the numbers popped up about 15 minutes later. Nova at Xavier. Nova surprised and stung. They're having a bit of a Purdue month of February. Mm-hmm. Xavier's won 9 in a row, a top 3-5 matchup on the road in Cincy for Nova. Give me the number right now.
All right. I got Xavier at home, -2, Nova +2 on the road.
Okay. I think no. Here's what I don't know, and we don't know when it comes to two stars for Nova, if they'll be back, if they'll be ready, if they'll be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I would say even if they are back, they're not going to be 100%. Can Nova find a way down two studs to win at Xavier? I say no way. I give the points to Nova, which is nuts. But give me Xavier 85-80, the win, the cover.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking Xavier in this one. Xavier's been playing really well. They are the 4 seed right now. Nova's the 3 seed. Even though Xavier's the 4 seed, I still feel like they're kind of looked over a little bit, you know? So I'm going to go with Xavier as well. I have them covering at -2. I'm going to have Xavier 83, Nova 77.
Okay. Michigan hosting Ohio State. Ohio State reeling a bit from getting just dismantled in Siberia. in Happy Valley. Michigan's been playing okay ball.
Yeah.
They stubbed their toe against Northwestern, then won by double digits against Wisconsin. Wisconsin just beat Purdue, who was once a top of the line seed. Now not so much. They're down to a two seed. Give me the line on this, Danny. Michigan at home over Ohio State.
Yeah, so you mentioned Ohio State just was on the road against Penn State, got clobbered on. Michigan been looking pretty good at home. Although it is a rivalry, Big Ten matchup, I got Michigan minus 1.5, Ohio State plus 1.5.
Give me Michigan at home. I think Ohio State loses back-to-back. I think Ohio State's style is... I mean, they're struggling to score 60. Mm-hmm. And Michigan seems a little more fluid. I don't think the physicality will mess with Michigan. They've already won at East Lansing. I think they can handle Ohio State. Have they played before?
No, I don't think they've played before.
Because the end of the regular season, I think Michigan has to go to Ohio State. So give me Michigan this round, and give me the Wolverines 75-68, the win and cover over the Buckeyes.
Okay, yeah, I also agree with you, Michigan for sure. Looking nice at home, Ohio State, like we said, not as good on the road. I think if Michigan just, if they're hitting their shots, there's no stopping them really, especially Ohio State. And I will take Michigan, let's go 72-66. I'll take Michigan over Ohio State.
Okay, Duke has tried to rebound a bit. They're at Clemson. And Clemson, a tough loss on the road recently. Who'd they lose to? They lost some ACC showdown.
With North Carolina, or no, did they beat North Carolina?
I think they beat. I'm sorry to put you on the spot there because I should know it. But Clemson's good. Duke just won a pretty big ball game. But they're... I don't know, man. They're just not the Coach K doesn't like this team, kind of like Self doesn't like his Kansas team. I think Clemson gets Duke. It's totally a game Duke wins. I think Clemson wins at home to kind of solidify their, you know, the altitude there. And what's the line?
Okay, so by the way, Clemson lost at Florida State in overtime.
That's right. They were just upset. I was right.
Right. And so the line I have, I actually like Duke a lot in this game. Not a lot, but I like him. I have Duke minus 3.5, Clemson plus 3.5.
I'll take those points all day long, okay. Danny boy.
I think Clemson's a little bit overrated. I love this Duke team, though they have been struggling. Marvin Bagley is just a stud. If Grayson Allen actually starts shooting, then they will win. They showed the statistics. Every game they've lost, he's only been getting like 9 to 11 points. So if Grayson Allen is working his game, I think Duke wins. I think they cover. I'll take Duke 83-78 over Clemson. What is your score?
You say 83-78. That's what Danny says. Give me Clemson 85-82. So they'll win, they'll cover. I like Clemson to win outright,
okay,
even with the points. West Virginia, Kansas. Kansas has been so up and down all year, mm-hmm, but they won at West Virginia and started the Mountaineers, the couch burners, on kind of their up and down slide this year. What's the line, Danny?
That's right. So Kansas won at West Virginia 71-66. So now they're in Kansas. I like Kansas. I got a minus 6, West Virginia plus 6.
It's kind of a high number. Kansas has been bad at home. I think West Virginia returns the favor, gets right. Press Virginia comes ready to play, and they win. And give me the points. I think West Virginia wins outright. This thing will be a little bit more defensive. That's how West Virginia wants to make it. Give me 67-61 West Virginia. Just to home another home loss for Kansas this year.
Okay. See, I do love West Virginia because of their defensive play. They haven't been this great on the defensive end in past years, from what I've watched at least.
Teams have been better at scoring against them.
Yeah, and Kansas, they have been struggling at home. I do think they will pick it up this weekend. I think West Virginia also, I mean, as most teams do, struggle with defense when you're playing on the road. So I'll take Kansas. Minus 6 is high, you're right. But just because of the factor that Kansas is at home and they already beat West Virginia, that's why I have it at minus 6. So I'll take Kansas 78, West Virginia 70, Yeah, we'll go 70. No, Kansas 78, West Virginia 71.
Okay. Nebraska, Illinois, what's the line?
I got Nebraska minus 7.5.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Illinois and the points and the win. You know my method here. You know I picked against Nebraska the last 8 games.
See, now you're double jinxing it, though.
No, but I'm going to take Illinois and the points.
Okay.
It's brilliant. I don't like the matchup. Illinois 72, Nebraska 69. Illinois the 3-point win.
Okay. It is a scary game. I hate this game. I really do, too.
Illinois is garbage against everyone, but, man, they're a pain against Nebraska this year.
And you know if Nebraska is going to lose, like, one of these last games, it's going to be against a team like
Illinois.
It's this
one where you're just going to get killed. There's 3 weeks of hype, and damn it, let them in. Oh, my God, you just took a big one against Illinois.
That's right. So I do think Nebraska will win. However, I do think Illinois will cover. I got Nebraska 72, Illinois 66.
Okay. Danny will take you home. I'm off to high school hoops. Have a great weekend. Talk to you tomorrow morning on the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Closing out a Friday show. I'm Danny Burke, your producer. Schmitty stepping out for the final segment here, heading into the weekend. And with this weekend, the NBA season comes to a halt for a little while. We have the All-Star Game coming up. It's going to talk a little bit about that. Is the NBA All-Star Game without a doubt the best All-Star contest between the major sports? I definitely think so. The only one you could argue with that would be baseball. And the reason I say this is because maybe not as much baseball anymore. I did love it a lot because of the factor where whatever team won, that's who would have the home field advantage in the World Series. Granted, I could see why a lot of people would hate that. I didn't run into that problem that much as a Cubs fan. And now that they've changed that rule, I get it. It makes sense. But I do like the competitive nature to it. They're able to have fun while also still trying to win if their team has a chance to make in the World Series. So I think the MLB does have a great All-Star game as well. And another factor that makes it that great is the Home Run Derby. You know, as a kid and even as an adult, you look forward to the Home Run Derby because it's just a bunch of stud athletes just killing the ball, doing the most exciting part of the game of baseball, which is hitting it out of the park. And basketball has many competitions, many little skill challenges like that, just like the dunk contest. The dunk contest to the NBA All-Star game is what the Home Run Derby is to the MLB All-Star game. But do you look forward to the dunk contest anymore? I don't think it's as exciting as it was. I haven't really been excited as watching one as since Blake Griffin when he jumped over the car back in 2011. I personally don't go out of my way to watch the dunk contest anymore. I'll just watch the highlights on ESPN the next day. I mean, after Blake Griffin, these are the names of the winners. In 2012, Jeremy Evans. 2013, Terrence Ross. 2014, John Wall. Zach LaVine, 15 and 16. And then Glenn Robinson. And this year, it should be interesting to see how this one pans out. Not too many huge names. Dennis Smith Jr., Donovan Mitchell, Larry Nance Jr., and Victor Oladipo. So I don't know. I'll probably catch the highlights once again and not really go out of my way to watch unless I just happen to be on the TV and remember that it's on. So I do think the NBA does have the best All-Star contest for sure because of the many variety of competitions they offer, starting with the Rising Stars Challenge. They have that tonight where the World All-Stars are taking on the USA All-Stars. I'm going to take the USA All-Stars in that one, -2. Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and my boy Chris Dunn from the Bulls starring on that team. The over under 300.5. Always got to go with the over with that. They don't really care. They're just chucking it up. Everyone's having a good time, and it's no fun to root for the unders, especially in the All-Star game. Then tomorrow, we have the Saturday Skills Challenge. I'm going to go with Lou Williams on this one at plus 300. And I say that because he got snubbed. He should have been an All-Star, and he's going to be playing with vengeance. While some guys may be more lackadaisical with it, I think he's going to be playing his heart out, even though it's a Skills Challenge. Then the three-point contest, one name that I like a lot, Devin Booker at plus 650. Another guy playing with vengeance because he didn't get picked for an all-star spot. He's a young stud. I think he's going to put it all out there on the floor. And then that dunk contest, I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell. Just like how he's been playing this year and compared to the rest of the competition, I got faith in him at plus 160. And then finally, the All-Star game. I'm going to have to roll with Team LeBron over Team Steph. Team Steph picked two of his own players on his team. I got Team LeBron -2.5. So thanks for listening to Hail Varsity. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Have a great weekend.